Root Causes, the PKI and Security Podcast, where a pair of industry veterans talk about all matters digital certificates and PKI. I'm Tim Callen, Chief Experience Officer at Sigtigo, and I'm here with Jason Sirocco, Senior Fellow at Sigtigo.
Okay, Jason, let me start you off with a phrase. MFA, the false equivalency fallacy.
Yeah. So you and I, in the history of this podcast, we're getting up to, what, 450 right at this point in time.
Yeah.
And we've done probably a dozen or more multi-factor authentication podcasts.
Probably. Yeah.
And I wanted to use this Toronto Sessions atmosphere, this ability for us to really talk through some of these meaty issues sitting right beside each other. And, you know, I remember writing a blog. My face was, you know, the picture right beside the article. I think it was an SC magazine, something like that. And the title of it was Not All MFA Are Created Equal.
Okay.
And I really wanted to get into this concept of there's so many of you who still, and I see it in technical journalism, I see it in blogs, I see it all over the place, and it's still used in a serious way, and I can't tell if people are being ironic.
Probably not in technical journalism, no, but go on.
I hope, my hope it is that it was ironic, but I don't think it is. So here it is, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Something you have, something you know, something you are.
Right. Yeah, we've all heard that a million times.
Factors of authentication.
Yeah.
If you layer them together, it's apparently a good thing, and it's all, I mean, that's the basic idea behind it. And the problem is this. I think that grew out of an age where it's kind of all you had was, you know, a hard token, a soft token.
Sure.
You know, a knowledge base. You know, what was your childhood dog's name? And all those really strong pieces of authentication.
Maybe your fingerprint.
Maybe you're not secret. We did a podcast on that. Your fingerprints, your voice. Right. If you thought it wasn't a secret before, it's even less of a secret now with deep fakes and everything else.
Yep.
So something you have, something you know, something you are, what the heck does that mean? Is it worth a damn?
Yeah.
I'm going to make the argument that I don't think you have to completely wholesale chuck that idea out the door, but I think you need to put it in its place because of something that I like to call the false equivalence fallacy. In other words, if you didn't listen to me 14
false
years...
False equivalence fallacy. So there's a fallacy, and it's that we are seeing an equivalence where there isn't one.
Yeah.
Which is?
Which is this. Not all MFA are created equal.
Oh, okay, sure.
So yeah. If you didn't listen to me 14 years ago, listen to me now, and I'll call it something fancier.
Okay.
Okay? And it's this. SMS is deprecated.
Right.
NIST deprecated it, and yet something you know, something you have, something you are, if you're using that as your model, it's a factor.
Something you have.
Therefore, it apparently has value if you layer it with some other pile of junk.
Right. So multi-factor authentication, it's MFA, it's not MGFA, which is multi-good factor authentication.
Wow, well said.
Right?
So what is a category of good and a category of bad? Because I like to just slice something you know, something you have, something you are. The reason why you can't completely throw it out is because there are some good things you have and know and are.
Oh, heck yeah.
There are some good ones.
Yeah, if I have a certificate on a device and then I am providing a PIN that only I know.
And that certs in an enclave.
That is a very secure setup.
That's something you have?
Yeah.
That's something you have?
Something you have and something you know.
It right? is something you have combined with something you know really, really well to make for a strong authentication mechanism.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It did not follow simply right. Something you have, something you know, right. Something you are.
But where I went to high school, it's something
not a
I know. And an SMS text that I receive.
Not a secret.
Just in the clear. That would still be something I know and something I have.
You and I just did a podcast on the SALT typhoon and the fact that you can't trust cellular data networks anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's continuing. Well, that makes this whole something you have, something you know, something you are, even, it's about the quality of the secret, Tim.
Yeah.
And so therefore, you can't use that model anymore.
Right.
You have to start thinking about high quality secrets and not high quality secrets. In other words, not all MFA are created equal.
Sure.
Okay. Because if you combine SMS, multi-factor authentication, mm-hmm. with a password and a knowledge-based question.
Right.
Guess what?
Yes.
Not a high quality secret.
Right.
A deprecated secret combined with something that's not a secret at all.
Yeah.
What? Something you have, something you know, something that's obliterated and all the bad guys know.
Yeah.
I use sarcasm too much. It's probably a coping mechanism from years and years of stress of dealing with all you people. Okay?
As he looks at me. Yes. Right.
Actually, you're one of the good people, Tim. So think about this for a moment. I'm going to make the one last argument about the weaker secrets, the only place that it actually really makes sense to me. And there probably are others, so this is not a non-exhaustive list. I would say that for the purposes of really limited networks, really limited resourced computing systems,
mm-hmm.
where encryption for data at rest is necessary,
yes,
and the shared secret is extremely controlled and doesn't really go anywhere. Encryption schemes are often using symmetric tokens, okay? Yeah. A shared secret. That might be a very appropriate use. So for those of you who are encrypting that way, and you really, really control what is accessing and what can access those shared secrets, you're probably doing an appropriate usage of a shared secret. So therefore, you know, there are appropriate uses of it. But most of the ways that you are using it, especially for MFA, are not appropriate in 2024 and beyond. So let's really, really name the stronger secrets.
Okay.
Shared secrets in extremely limited use. Okay, we'll let those ride.
Okay.
Your strongest secrets, though, are going to be your not shared secrets, also known as
asymmetric
secrets,
right?
Which is why you brought up certificates.
That's PKI.
PKI.
Right.
PKI by a bunch of different names.
Yep.
If you are wanting a category of strong versus weak,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to go any further than that. It is symmetric.
And everything else is weak.
Symmetric versus asymmetric. And if you're going to use symmetric, know why you're using it, know how you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else symmetric, you still have worries. You still have to be worried about your asymmetric secrets because you're storing a certificate in software. That might not be very secure. But if you're storing it in a secure element, some sort of an enclave, my goodness, that's about the state of the art right now. Okay? So I've been asked many, many times, Jay, if you're going to put locks on the doors, what are you going to, you know, what would you choose? In today's age, what I would choose is out of band.
Okay.
In other words, don't trust your endpoint.
Okay.
Something where the key generation was extremely controlled and the private key is in an enclave.
Okay.
And the ability to access the endpoint to do the out-of-band authentication is protected by some sort of a...
So can I rely on there being an enclave in my end-user device?
In the past, the answer was no.
Right.
You needed to have an IT department who was helping you out.
That's pretty good, right? Because I'm going to get it in my current version of Windows or Mac OS.
Yep.
I'm going to get it in my current version of Android or iOS.
Yep.
And those, between that, we're covering almost all of the devices we're talking about.
I'll tell you what, you know, for those of you who don't work in enterprise environments, a lot of your first, actual touching usage of an asymmetric secret for the purposes of authentication, you probably have all sorts of asymmetric secrets in your pocket right now that are just happening ubiquitously to encrypt data in transit. We're talking about authentication here.
Right.
And if you're using passkeys, you're using an asymmetric secret.
Yep.
Now, we've had a podcast talking about there is a weakness because there's a session token sitting underneath that. It's part of the implementation, and it might end up being the fatal flaw. I hope it won't. It probably won't. Let's pray it isn't. people will figure it out. The ecosystem will come together and solve that problem. So how to protect that session token? Again, symmetric secrets have to be highly controlled. I don't think they're controlled enough right now for web authentication and passkeys. That's just the truth. And I don't think I'm the only person who says that. It's just I'm the person who's annoyingly enough bringing it up every once in a while. I think, though, that for those of you who are in enterprise environments and you're facing this world of crypto wars 3.0, something you and I just were talking about, where if you thought you had to be paranoid before, you got to be really paranoid now in this new world.
Yeah.
And I think that putting good locks on the doors is something you all need to be doing. And that's the reason for this podcast. It's a call to arms to let go of things that don't work anymore.
Yeah.
Something you have, something you know, something you are, does not take into account the quality of the secrets underlying.
Right. So, excuse me. The something you have, something you know, something you are model can still be useful so long as you put some kind of minimum bar on the somethings.
You know that that's exactly what I wrote 14 years ago.
Okay.
But nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're asking you to do, is consider the fact that not all MFA are created equal.
Yeah.
That's it, Tim.
All right. There you go. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Tim.
This has been Root Causes.